Want to get in our first guest here, House Speaker Taylor Barra. Sir, good to see you again.
Good morning, Jeff. Happy to be here.
I'm, as you mentioned off air, happy to be back in town, huh?
That is correct. For a few days, though it may be, but happy to be here.
Let's talk, certainly first and foremost, want to talk about the capital outlay bill and the line item vetoes that included many Iberia projects, but it wasn't just Iberia. Tell us a little bit about the capital outlay process and why the governor felt the need to do all these vetoes.
Sure. And you know, for folks that hear about capital outlay, it is what we call House Bill 2. It originates on the House side of the legislature every year. It is truly the statewide construction project bill. So whether it be Department of Transportation, all the executive branches, university campuses, all of the bonding that we do for those types of constructions, large capital projects are all included in an annual House Bill 2 that is adopted by the legislature every year. Once that's complete with the request of projects, the locals, all of the state agencies turn in their request by November 1st every year. That turns into the list of potentially what could make it into the bill, because not every request makes it into the bill. And then, of course, not everything that's in the bill ultimately receives a line of credit. So it's a multi-step process. And those lines of credits are based on the availability of bonding capacity that the state has. We can only reach a certain level of debt each year, and that's what's taken into account before we award those lines of credit by the Bond Commission. So in this process, as we started back in 2016 with the Edwards administration and when I became Speaker, we have been now completed six special sessions. The seventh one I anticipate may be called tomorrow. Really on a revenue raising effort that the governor has insisted on proceeding down, and you know, the federal government helped us a little bit along the way, and the economy has helped a little bit along the way. Fortunately, we have not had to raise any significant taxes up to this point. This past couple of sessions, and of course the one that he will call, will certainly be focused on that measure. When I look at the veto letter that came out on Tuesday, it is certainly focused in Acadiana. There are 29 projects out of 40 that are in Acadiana. And I think that has a good bit to do with voting record, and I'm assuming he's keeping some kind of score. But as it relates to raising of revenue, I will tell you, I think what the Acadiana legislators are experiencing is, I don't think there's any economy in Louisiana that's taken a hit harder than the Acadiana economy over the last couple of years. And, you know, I see it in the bank world that there are companies still hanging on and struggling, and our oilfield service companies are trying to find a bright light, and that's a challenge. So as these tax measures continue to come forward, and, you know, whether it's sales tax, personal income tax, taxing on services, we have continued, the conservatives have continued to fight that off, allowing the economy to rebuild at some time. And I think when he goes back and looks at some of those voting records, that apparently is what he used, because St. Martin, Iberia, Lafayette, St. Mary to a point, Vermilion in a big way. I mean, those are the areas that the oil field has changed the way we do business in a negative way. And I think that showed up in a lot of those revenue votes. And apparently, if he's keeping score, I think that was what turned out in that veto letter. Fortunately for Iberia Parish, we have over $23 million in the capital outlay bill. When I got elected back in 2008, I was fortunate enough to be put on the House Ways and Means Committee, which is where the bill originates. And a lot of the projects that we have that are multi-year projects, I think of the AgMac channel at the port, a lot of improvements we've done out at the airport. The parish has rightfully so made their number one priority the airport access road from Highway 90 into the airport. All of those projects remain in the bill, most of them with priority one and two opportunities to get lines of credit. And we'll stay focused on all of those. These 11 that were in Iberia Parish that were in the veto letter are fairly new requests. Both the parish, I think there was one on behalf of the city, that were new requests. They were in what we call our priority five category, which is the lowest of the categories, and that's where a lot of the new requests end up. The problem with Priority 5 is it comes after all of the Priority 1s are funded and all of the Priority 2s are funded, which makes Priority 5 normally a 2 to 3 year process before you move up to a line of credit status. So certainly can be repeated. Those projects will be put back in the bill again next year. It's a cycle we've had to work through through capital outlay, even without a veto. Sometimes the projects, the funding doesn't allow for all of them to be funded, of course. So I think, and I'll have a conversation with both the mayor and the parish president about that in the next few days, but not of great concern from the dollar amounts. It's about $1.8 million worth of projects when you total up the 11. The good news is we have $23 million in excess in the bill that has a very good chance of getting funded for a number of our projects. Fire station in Lowerville, Newark with the AgMac channel out at the port. Actually, the Acadiana Crime Lab that's out at the Acadiana Regional Airport has a $4 million decent priority one, priority two ranking in the bill as well. So good news all the way around. I was certainly disappointed for our Acadiana legislators for, you know, standing up for their citizens and trying to keep taxes to a minimum, kind of get a little penalty. And you know, I'm not sure that helps the process, but tends to be a little petty at the end of the day. But fortunately, it was none of our bigger projects.
You know, the 1 cent that's been on the books for a couple of years that falls off on June 30th, what do you think has been the impact of that 1 cent sales tax?
You know, as the way we look at it today, when we put that temporary tax on back in 2016, had a 27-month run, which will end this June 30th. The reason for the temporary measure was to allow the economy to rebound. Back at the end of 15-16, the general economy in Louisiana had not improved a great deal. Then we experienced the Baton Rouge and North Louisiana floods. So, you know, the economy was sputtering a good way, and we felt really hesitant about putting a full penny on permanently. That still tends to be the debate today. In fact, in the most recent bills, even considering a third or a half a cent renewal of that, the discussion continues to be, is it temporary or permanent? And both measures that were before the House and the Senate this past session were both temporary 5 or 6 year options. I think when you, particularly with sales tax, because locals depend on a portion of that levy as well, that we want to try and keep the state levy at a reasonable rate to allow the locals to use their ability to tax on a sales tax level as well. Sales tax, you know, has a lot of debate that's around it, particularly its effect on lower income residents. Fortunately, in Louisiana, our Constitution still prohibits the collection of sales tax on food for home consumption, on our residential utility bills, and on our prescription drugs. So we have a great benefit in that regard. So for our lower income folks, that's three huge exemptions that they are able to take advantage of. Another reason why we're trying to limit, if we keep any part of this penny, it'll be a third or a half at the most, because to balance the budget, that gets us very close. We don't think we can escape a $2 billion hole that we've been working on since 2016 without shaving or making some adjustments to department budgets pretty much across the board. I think what you do is keep it at a minimum to where they're 2.5% to 3%, and most agencies can absorb and work through that. And I hope in this next session that's where we arrive, with keeping only a portion of that new penny.
There were a couple of proposals that would have done that in this past special session. What went wrong there?
Yeah, a couple of things. When we determine by revenue estimate what's available for us to spend next year, there's a little bit of a discrepancy in what the administration views as the budget number and what the legislature views. Every administration, it's not indicative of only the Edwards administration, but it's called the continuation budget, are things that you would hope could be funded over the next 12-month period. So when 20 departments submit their budgets, they submit what I call their wish list. If they need new vehicles, new computer programs, all of that is in the budget. Of course, every year, not all of that can be funded. Every governor considers that to be the goal that they're reaching for. And today, that's about a $643 million delta that's still open that we need to fill. When you put the number to it and estimate what every one of those departments is using this year that will end June 30th, that's more of a $500 million number. That extra $150 million is continuing to be what we debate about, that that's the difference between keeping a third and a half of the penny. And if we can do it by only keeping a third and shave those departments to absorb some of those growth expenses, they may not be able to use every wish list item on there. But at the same time, until the economy is full speed for Louisiana, I think we need to proceed with caution. But that's been the debate, how much of it is really needed.
You know, we hear a lot the idea that higher education and health care, those are a couple of areas that always seem to be mostly affected in this area. But what you just said would suggest maybe otherwise, that there are other monies to play with.
Correct. And in the case of higher ed and health care, those are the two larger areas of the budget that don't have a large dedicated pot of money. K through 12 over the years has been dedicated with a lot of the lottery proceeds, some of the tobacco settlement money. So K through 12 funded at a reasonable level. Higher ed was outside of that dedication. Same thing with health care. You know, the health care, our Louisiana Department of Hospitals, by far, you know, between health care and all of education, that uses 80% of our state general fund just in those two areas. So with Medicaid expansion, that pressure has begun to increase at the Department of Health and Hospitals. So we are always working toward efficiencies to see where we can get that department as streamlined as possible. But that those are the two big areas. The budget as we left it when we left there on Monday night fully funds our private partner hospitals that are running the old charity hospitals. Lafayette General does that for us here in Acadiana at UMC. Those were fully funded. We had the core funding of higher ed included in that as well. Not totally, but for the most part funded. And unfortunately, without the revenue measure passing, TOPS sits at about a 70% funding. So if either of these measures, the third of the penny or the half penny, happens to pass in the next session, it will be that money we use to backfill that, as well as some of the department budgets that we haven't been able to fill. I don't believe all of them get 100% of what they need at the end of the day or what they've requested. We are going to try to reach what they're spending at this level this year. And I think for most departments, that would certainly be acceptable. And continue to evaluate what the economy is doing. We get a bump in oil price every now and then, which helps us. But production in Louisiana is virtually standstill. So even though the price goes up with no production, it doesn't turn into dollars for our treasury. So a challenge there as well, and we hope to see that increase at some point in time.
The idea that, you know, senior citizens might be tossed out of nursing homes, that was floated around over the past few weeks, few months of all these regular session as well as the special session. What do you tell those folks, and how do you allay those concerns?
Yeah, and you know, from a legislative perspective, I don't think there's a representative or a senator that would ever support that we would, you know, exit folks from nursing homes, not give a, you know, a disabled child or adult the required services from the Department of Hospitals, in addition to, you know, doing what we can to make sure we keep our promise to our top students as best we can. Keep in mind that the budget that passed is a $30 billion budget. We spend between federal and local money $30 billion annually in Louisiana. We're short 500 million of that, so we're short a very small percentage.
1/60th.
The budget bill still spends $30 billion, and somewhere in that spending, we would prioritize certainly not to exit anyone from a nursing home or anything like that. It's what administrations use to wreak havoc in the public, to put pressure on the legislators to vote, and in some cases, that may work. But if you know the numbers and you know where they need to be applied and you prioritize accordingly, that will not happen to any resident as we work through this process. And it's scary for some folks. And legally, they had to notify residents in case the funding wasn't going to be there. I don't disagree with that. But in reality, there's no legislator that would promote that happening.
You know, yeah, I tried to compare local and parish budgets and how they are amended throughout the year. There's a lot of talk about, well, there's this June 30th deadline, but obviously budgets can be amended as the year goes.
Certainly.
So is that something you would think of as a possibility if, you know, the next special session doesn't get the job done, but throughout the year, as things hopefully get better, things can get adjusted.
The tricky thing for Louisiana, we have a balanced budget amendment in our Constitution. So on July 1, without an appropriation, the treasurer is restricted as to, you know, who he can write checks to. So we would always want an appropriation bill in place. Even if it's one that doesn't totally fund the budget, it's still possible with cuts to balance the budget. And certainly we don't want to make those any deeper than they need to be, but the state would continue to operate in that scenario. The other thing is, you know, when you look at economy in Louisiana, the most recent gross domestic product numbers for Louisiana for the last 2 years have been sluggish. This year has been a negative. It was a negative 2% that we finished 17 with, which is an alarming number. And you couple that with they let, you know, W-2 wages, Department of Labor, as of the first quarter, showed Louisiana shrinking in total payroll. Acadiana had the biggest loss, $11 million in payroll lost in the first quarter. Those are significant contractions in the economy that need to be recognized. I mean, I was surprised to read this week in our local area, you know, Iberia Parish losing 1,000 or so residents since last year. So, you know, at those times when you have a governor that's proposing, you know, taxing the installation of your appliance, you pay 4 cents or right now 5 cents when you buy the appliance. But if you pay someone to come and install it or install your carpet, you're going to pay 4.5 or 5 cents sales tax on the installation as well. Well, it didn't take long for my conservatives in the House to say, no, I don't think we're doing that. So, you know, it's those kinds of efforts that you hate to pile on when an economy is struggling. And we have those indicators. And I think what we saw here in Iberia Parish with the loss of another 1,000 residents confirms that.
Yeah, we're due for another census in a couple of years. We lost a member of Congress with the last one. Any concerns there?
You know, we in the 2010 census, we lost a congressman in Washington, and we lost four seats. We didn't lose them. We had to redesign them because of the population loss that still existed in New Orleans post-Katrina. I think a lot of that has rebalanced itself in this next census. I think the out-migration outside of Louisiana still continues to happen, so I would not be surprised to see total population down on that next count.
Yeah, and if it's not even out-migration on our part, just other parts of the country also growing,
certainly,
maybe more rapidly.
Certainly. And, you know, the business environment here, and I did an interview yesterday that talked about the very same thing. When we are attempting to shave the benefits of programs that our businesses use to employ people and attract when they need to do a new investment in Louisiana, we certainly encourage them with some type of incentive. That's what gets things coming into Louisiana, and we certainly don't want to discourage that as we go through this process. It's been an effort of this administration to shave some of those benefits, and to a degree, some of them can be continued to be tweaked, but that discourages business. The lawsuit environment in Louisiana continues to be an issue for a lot of major business, and hopefully we can keep that to a minimum. But again, this administration has not helped in promoting, you know, parishes suing oil companies and those kinds of things. That all affects future investment in our state. And hopefully we can get past that, stabilize the budget, and continue working to grow our state. We have a higher ed system that can be an economic driver for us, although be it there's some inefficiencies in those systems as well, and we have challenged the Board of Regents to work on that as well across the four-year campuses. We have a great community college system that has grown considerably over the last 10 years. So we have some very bright things happening, but at the same time, we have to be respectful of the reality of what the economy is showing us right now.
In some part, you've got about a year left. If
Correct.
You look at the budget cycle and the legislative session cycle, I'm curious what you think you can do in this next year, year and a half, to leave some sort of legacy here.
Well, I think stability being the most important. We talk, you know, reform ideas and tax reform and constitutional conventions and those type of things. I have described this, I think, as a crossroads for Louisiana. With a 4 million population in Louisiana and a $30 billion budget, when you calculate that per person in Louisiana, we are spending the most amongst the southern states to operate our government. Now we have different demographics in our population. We do have a slight higher poverty rate than most of our southern states. Thus, the Medicaid program and some of the things that go with it. Our Department of Children and Family Services. So stability in those systems, number one, as it relates to the revenue that they need. But with that comes the efficiencies in state departments. Look, I run a small agency now myself. As the CEO of the House of Representatives, I have 300 employees that report up to me. And it is possible to award the good performers with pay raises when it's appropriate. But for a long time in Louisiana, every state employee got a 4% raise, basically regardless of their performance. That still exists in a lot of agencies. And, you know, I went a long way back in 2016 to not, because of the budget, we didn't award raises in the House of Representatives. We're doing it now selectively, but very few people are getting 4% raises unless they're incredible performers. And it's those kinds of evaluations and efficiencies that government just has not always been good at. And it's a requirement in business. It doesn't work exactly that way in government, but at the same time, there are ways to be efficient. And when you get to the bigger departments like Department of Health and Hospitals and Higher Ed and Children and Family Services, it's important that, you know, if we have vacant positions and they're not filled, then let's eliminate the positions, you know, consolidate efforts where we can. It is those kinds of efficiencies that help us build the stability going forward. Because I don't think, when I look at the tax rates and what other states around us are using as their basis, we don't have a big tax burden, but we tax things differently here. We don't have a statewide property tax. We still have a very generous homestead exemption. All of those are good things for our residents. More the reason why we need to keep government as efficient as we can.
You know, the mayor just snuck in behind you a moment ago, and he's getting ready to add, and in fact has pretty much already added another 70 to 80 people to his civil service payroll.
Sure.
A lot of complaints on the local level is that the state doesn't do something to help them out as far as some of those civil service mandates.
And that is an efficiency. Our state civil service department, I guess about 8 years ago, we did some of that legislation to streamline, cut down the number of positions and descriptions of positions. It had gotten to be a very cumbersome organizational chart as it related to civil service positions. And that filtered down to the locals having to follow that law. I think as we continue to streamline that and, again, demand efficiency, because the budget dollars can't keep rolling in at the level that we've been doing it, it's going to take those efficiencies, and hopefully that trickles down to the locals as well. But it is of utmost importance in that regard, including things like retirement and municipal retirement and statewide retirement and teacher retirement, a whole nother financial matter that actually we got an opportunity to begin a process of allowing employees to make a choice when they're employed at the state to participate in a 401k plan or choose state retirement. The governor asked that the bill not go forward. He didn't want to deal with it at this point in time. A great step forward by our biggest retirement system, the Louisiana retirement system. The executive directors who suggested the legislation, which was a huge change from what we've been hearing the resistance been, but it was not heard on the Senate side, much to our disappointment. But, you know, retirement reform is certainly something that could save us a great deal of money going forward.
Yeah, again, you want to make sure you take care of the people who were offered something and they did their job and they did, you know, what was asked of them, hopefully what was asked of them. And you don't want to renege on those promises.
Correct.
but going forward.
Correct. And you know, a directed retirement plan is what certainly the private sector does most of the time. But state government back in the day when they created those retirement system probably didn't pay as competitive a salary as some of the private business. So they enticed folks with a little bit better retirement system. The pay has increased, but I'm not sure we've kept pace with what we offer in the retirement sector. And of course, that trickles down to our locals as well. And that retirement cost for most municipalities and local governments is a burden. It is no doubt.
You know, one final question for you, and probably should have asked this toward the start of this, but you know, the current governor would suggest that the previous administration kind of kicked the can down the road until it landed on his desk. How much can you buy into that and understand that?
Yeah, and there are some aspects that I would agree to a point, and it has a little bit to do with the budgeting and the way you choose to approach it. Look, we had a Republican governor that I served under for 8 years, and as part of the Republican delegation, we pushed hard to eliminate things like including one-time money in a budget, because it just exacerbates your problem for the following year. I was an author with eight or ten other people. We did something called the Guyman Rule. Now we have to notify the body when we're about to vote on a revenue measure or a budget that includes one-time money. We that is a public announcement that's made, and the vote count changes at that point in time. In an effort to not be able to raid funds and include one-time money, that creates an automatic hole before you start the next process, because it's not going to repeat in a subsequent year. So those kinds of efforts, and when you have fund balances that you can borrow, but the economy doesn't get strong enough for you to pay it back, you start creating, like you would in our own budgets at home, that, you know, you've got to go back and correct that over the years. We have a rainy day fund. We built restrictions around what part of the rainy day fund can be used. Only a portion can be used. It has to be paid back within 2 years. So it's those kinds of belt tightening restrictions that under a Republican governor we put in, because any administration is tempted, rather than to cut higher ed or cut another department, to use, you know, borrow a fund or take a stat debt to replace the money. But it's a one-time fix that usually causes you more pain down the road, and we went through a lot of that. So I think what's good about the budgets we have passed since 2016, no one-time money in anyone that we have passed since then. Not a great deal of fund sweeps. We let departments make their own decisions, that if we've cut their budget and they want to use some of their dedicated dollars to replace that is their choice. But at the same time, not encouraging that we do fund sweeps or one-time money exercises, which tend to lead to the kick the can down the road scenario. What we're facing today is none of that in the budget, just truly an economic shrinking that has changed our revenue picture considerably, and that's what we need to choose as to what we replace or retain to help us get over that hump.
All right. Got just a couple of minutes with Taylor Barrow, Louisiana House Speaker. Do have a caller on the line. Hi, you're in the air. Okay. Well, we gave him a shot anyway. Any final thoughts before we let you go?
It is great to be back in the city for a few days. I have a feeling I'll be back in Baton Rouge sooner than I think, but to the constituents of ours that continue to stay in touch, we appreciate the feedback. Good things for Iberia Parish still in our capital outlay budget, although the veto pen got a few people's attention. We will be able to renew those projects and continue moving forward. But there's $23 million more we want to make sure we get funded.
Fair enough.
Good to see you, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you.